Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So there is this bill in City Council, supported by the Transport Workers Union, to ban eating on the subway. The goal, they say, is to fight the rats. But MTA Chief Joe Loda has come out against the idea, saying he sees too many kids being fed their breakfasts on the train on the way to school to ban it. He told the New York Times, "I do not support the bill. It severely hurts and impacts minority communities. I don't want to deny the kid the only time that day he's going to get food." So, listeners, we want to know what you think. Now, subway riders, or if you're a subway worker, let us know what you think. 212-433-WNYC. Do you want to see food banned on subway trains? And if so, is this because of rats? Or you don't like the smell, or you think people eating in public is gross, or you're jealous because they have food and you don't? What's your reason? 212-433-WNYC. Or are you on the other side and think eating on the underground should not be against the law? And whether you would support a ban or not, have you yourself eaten on the subway? Are there times you will and times you won't? Are there foods you will and foods you won't? 212-433-WNYC. Or post your comments to our webpage at WNYC.org. We can get a good conversation going on our webpage as well at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And what's the grossest subway eating moment that you have ever witnessed? Karen and Chelsea, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
So you have a position, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I think that banning people eating on the subway is ridiculous. Ticket litterers, $2.50 a pop for littering is completely fine for me. But the idea that children can't eat, many people, including me, when they were going to school, worked full time, that's the only time you have to eat.
Karen, thank you very much. And perhaps there could be a middle ground, folks. Like she mentioned, more enforcement of anti-littering laws. People have raised that as an alternative. Maybe that would starve the rats as effectively as a ban on the actual food. Or maybe some kinds of foods could be banned that are prone to being messy or greasy or whatever, but not others. What do you think? Should the city council pass this law to ban eating on the subways? Nina in Glen Rock, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I think this should pass the law, but I think you have to put in some caveats. For example, you know, people that are diabetic and they might need, you know, you might have to keep something on their person in case, you know, their blood sugar starts to fluctuate or something. The other thing is if you're traveling with really small kids and one of the train gets stopped between stations and you have to give them something. You know, those are the only two things that I would look at. But, you know, the subway is really not the place to have a four-course meal. I'm sorry.
thank you very much. There's a conspiracy theory out there, by the way, that our producer Jody Avergan brought to my attention, that the MTA has banned food on or hasn't banned food on the subway, that they don't want to ban food on the subway because it attracts the rats, like they want to make a rat ghetto, because if they didn't have a food supply down there, then the rats would scatter throughout the city and they'd go into your building and they'd become more emboldened to go into your building, into your home, into your restaurant, into your cooler, into your office. I haven't heard any evidence to that, but it is a very interesting conspiracy theory. Buenas in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I original from Hong Kong, and I'm born in like mid of 70s. In my generation, when I was subway for us is kind of a new thing, and since I born with the subway that they never allow people will eat or drink inside the subway. Before you get in the gate, you already have to drop all your food or whatever. So that, for me, is like keeping hygiene, and it won't produce that much of garbage. And also, it won't interrupt other passengers because of the food smell or coffee spill and avoid all the accidents. So I think...
What do you think about the arguments that you've heard on the other side, like kids who sometimes get their breakfasts on the way to school or diabetics who need food when they need food or whatever.
But diabetic people, if they need food, it probably will be one piece or two piece of candies that balance the blood sugar. Mm-hmm. It's not like they need a full meal or a hamburger or a french fry or fried chicken.
Right.
Those smell is really like will affect other people. I think like chewing gums or a piece of chocolate, it won't bother others.
Gwyneth, thank you so much for your call. Please call us again. We're going to get a take on this now from Anis Azaldo, author of Day of Honey, a memoir of food, love, and war. Maybe you saw her Times op-ed supporting the right to eat on the trains and opposing the bill. Anna, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And you see this at least in part as being about class and Victorian-era elitism, don't you?
I do see it as a class issue. I think that anyone who's had an hour and a half long commute would be very much opposed to this kind of a rule. You know, people who spend upwards of 3 hours a day on the subway, and that's a lot of New Yorkers, this is kind of a hardship. It's interesting to me to hear these comments. People seem to equate food with, you know, it's other people's food, it's disgusting food. Listen to all the comments from people that are like, oh, Egg McMuffins and French fries and hamburgers. It's like the kind of food that people like to wag their fingers at. And I find that fascinating, I find that interesting.
And how does that relate to what might have happened in the city a century ago?
A century ago, there was this sort of, it's interesting, if you look at Victorian history, restaurants themselves were considered very, very bad, low-class places. Sorry?
Go ahead. Yep.
I think I'm getting your audio from your producer. They were considered these very sort of bad, low-class places when they first came on the scene in about the middle of the 19th century, early to middle 19th century. And they were considered these places of low morals and only bad people would eat in them. And you saw that kind of Victorian attitude as the century went on being evidenced toward people who ate in public. It was considered this very low-class thing to eat in public. And there's this fantastic cartoon from Harper's Magazine, Harper's Weekly, in 1853, contrasting these two very elegant ladies in very, very sumptuous, you know, very fashionable, what was then considered really great fashion, which is like giant kind of hoop skirts with bows all over them. And they're very elegantly, delicately eating ice cream in an ice cream parlor. And there's this, you know, sort of mustachioed waiter waiting on them. One of them's actually wearing a veil. And then you see these ragged street urchins outside in the Bowery, many of which are carrying brooms, so they're working children. And they're considered, you know, they're considered very low class, and they are like slurping ice cream outside. And it was like, you know, this is the difference between Broadway and the Bowery.
Mm.
And so there was this class element to it even then. People who ate outside were working people. They were bad people. They were dirty people.
On the other hand, though, the MTA's union workers, who I think are the ones who most want this law, are mostly minority working class people themselves. They just say they don't want to have to work around as many rats. That doesn't sound like Victorian elitism.
I don't think so. And I don't think that this is a racial issue at all. I think that this is a class issue. And it's interesting to me that we have this immediate equation of food with rats, because it's not food that causes rats, it's litter. And trying to eliminate the litter problem by preventing people from eating is kind of like trying to prevent drunken driving by preventing people from drinking.
Do you think there's anything to consider in that conspiracy theory that I mentioned? Did you hear it before, that possibly the MTA actually wants the subways to be a rat ghetto, a rat haven, so that they don't spread around the city into people's buildings and stuff?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I think that is crazy, crazy talk. I mean, here's the thing about the subways, right? The subways are underground. Rats like it underground. Eating is banned on the subways in Chicago, but you still see rats because rats go underground.
Catherine in Babylon, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Well, I understand and I'm sensitive to all of the class dynamics. I was just trying to get the exact date, though. I would put it in the same category as the ban on spittoons. It's a public space.
On spit, you don't mean spittoons, you mean actually on spitting, right?
Well, actually, some people chew tobacco and would spit it in these spittoons as
uh-huh.
well.
Okay.
But in any case, it was necessary to ban them because it was thought to, you know, well, mostly at that time, because they thought that infections and germs could be spread that way.
Right, and you're worried about that with the food, too. All right, Randy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. You have a gross eating on the subway story for us?
Yes, well, it may be more about not just eating on the subway, but don't eat and sleep on the subway.
Not at the same time, in other words.
Not at the same time. So I saw a guy put away basically a huge blimpy sandwich in about three bites, fall asleep with his mouth open, and the food, like it was mostly mayonnaise, was just oozing out of his mouth. And that was enough to say, no eating on the train. Or at least don't sleep after you eat.
How can you fall asleep right after eating a footlong? I don't understand.
Well, you know, it was a 45-minute train ride.
Right. But did this actually bring you to the policy conclusion to ban all eating on the trains?
You know, when I was growing up, my mother told me I was not allowed to eat on the subway, so I kind of always lived by that rule. And it wasn't exactly him.
And these other, and I hear you have a baby in the background.
I do.
What about when that baby's a little bit older and that's the only way you can get some breakfast on your commute to that great New York City public school halfway across the city?
She's eating on the train.
She is. Okay. Good. Randy bows to reality. There we have it on you, right? The when your values and your interests collide.
You know, the gross eating, I have seen some really disgusting things. But you don't ban the eating, you ban the litter. You know, I mean, I've seen people clipping their toenails on the subway. I've seen people doing things that I can't even mention in polite company on the subway.
Here is a train operator, Dave in Brooklyn. Dave, thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So what's the train operator's point of view on this?
Okay, I think it should be banned because I, as an operator sitting in the front of the train, have to smell that. And that mixed with the steel dust, mixed with other odors that are on the train, mixed with just everything else, it is absolutely repulsive to sit there and smell that food. And I have to open up my windows, and sometimes it doesn't do any good. And as far as the hour and a half commute, I have an hour commute. I just get up earlier, and I eat at home, period.
So are you and your colleagues the main impetus for this? Some of the reporting says you are. This is really coming from the subway workers who think that the eating, you know, does encourage the rats and you have to deal with more rats and the other kind of quality of life issues that you were just describing.
I'm sorry.
So this is coming. This is coming mostly from you guys, right? From the subway workers.
I would. Sure. Absolutely.
What about as far as the rats go? The alternative of just enforcing the littering laws, as some people have brought up.
Well, most of the litter that I see is food. That's the ironic thing. It is half-eaten food that I see on the trains that causes the rat problem.
Dave,
not pieces of paper.
Thank you very much for calling in, and we thank Anna Cezadlo, author of Day of Honey, a memoir of food, love, and war. She wrote a Times op-ed supporting the right to eat on the trains and opposing the bill and rooting her opposition in history. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, you can keep this conversation going on our webpage where it is breaking out as well as on the air. Go to WNYC.org. And click on Brian Lehrer Show. Coming up next, we continue our series with local New York and New Jersey and Connecticut folks who are hoping to go to the Olympics this summer. Coincidentally, our guest today was also profiled in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Did you see that 20-year-old named Orozco from the Bronx who's been called the Michael Jordan of gymnastics? We will talk to him coming up next.